And Philippians in chapter 4. You might want to put her in the back there with the little guy. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4. I want to title this message Panoramic Prayer. Panoramic Prayer teaches some things maybe a little different about prayer that might help us. And about having a complete prayer life and doing things all the way in prayer. Can I tell you, we because of our because of our culture, have a real prayer problem. We are so distracted. We have so many things to do. You're never bored. You're never sitting there with nothing quiet, with just quiet. You don't walk anywhere like here tonight. We didn't show any videos there, but we'll walk down trails for, you know, an hour where your mind isn't thinking. There's no headphones. There is no internet. You know, there is no cell phone. And so you just think and you pray. And so we have a real problem. People have so little attention spans, they don't really pray much. And if they do pray, they do not go into a private place. And so they pray for a few minutes, they get distracted. And we've got to fix that and get real prayer going. At some point, you got to realize we're in such need of God. You have to pray. The excuses have got to melt away. And you just have to pray. Philippians chapter 4. And verses 1 through 9 is what I'll read to start off with. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Synthony that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we pray now, as we learn about prayer, you would help us. Prayer is what gets you involved. Prayer is what makes you bless. And you said if we ask for bread, you won't give us a stone. Lord, you want to bless and answer prayers. And we pray you would, in Jesus' name today, speak to us through the Word of God and do a mighty work, Lord, and help us understand these truths and help us understand about prayer, Lord. We've got to grow in prayer, Lord, and you've led us to more prayer. You told us we need to do this, Lord, so I pray you'd help us to understand it better. And I pray today, Lord, people would be transformed in their prayer life. Help us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. A few things in this passage. We see, first of all, that we're supposed to, he sees about his converts. His converts, he says about them, "My brethren, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown." What Paul says here is, guys, you are my joy. You are my crown. You're the thing atop my head. I want to say that your greatest accomplishment in life will be winning people to Christ and them serving the Lord, whether it's your own personal physical children or your spiritual children. Your crown in life is converts who are serving the Lord. No wonder it says in 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth." And everybody knows John is not talking about physical children, it's spiritual children. John's probably never married. And so he says, that joy and his crown. I want to tell you, one of the greatest joys you'll have is when you get people to start serving the Lord, when God uses you to bring them to church, when God uses you to help them to serve the Lord, and people are now serving the Lord because you witnessed to them, you gave them a track, you invited them to church, you taught them some Bible. There is no greater joy than to see that, than your little children, as Paul had won them to Christ. And he says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast, and you just stick with it and keep on going. Then he tells them, be the same mind. Be the same mind. Oh, I'm so glad we have that in our church. We are such a church of united, same mind, and we're so blessed in that. I, 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 I've been in a church that was divided, and oh, what a tragic thing that the devil uses. We make it very clear what we are at our church. We make it clear where we're going and what we're doing and what we're about. We're about winning the world to Christ, glorifying God, and lifting the fallen, and all these things that we do. We've got to have the same mind. We don't strive about little things. And he says, listen, and then he names them. Imagine this. For the rest of the history of Christianity, these two people who couldn't get along, their name is mentioned in the Bible. He says, I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Synthene that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Boy, I bet they wish they'd have gotten along. That forever the churches read about these two people who couldn't get along together. And in the New Testament church, there's these people. And then he says, all of you, be of the same mind. Most of the conflicts that people have are not worth fighting over. There are some things that we'll fight over. There's doctrine of the Word of God. We're going to say, no, we don't do that here. We do this. The Bible says this. But most things, what color the carpet is, or what side the piano is on, or you don't like pastor's tie, none of those things are going to matter in eternity. Okay? And if you don't like my tie, buy me a new one, and I'll wear it. And I think, I shouldn't say that, somebody will buy me a weird pink tie or something. But don't fight about things that don't matter. It's important. And in your own home, choose your battles. Don't fight over everything. You'll find out, usually as you get older, you find out how precious peace is. And some of the things you thought were so important, only by pride comes contentious. Now, there's contentious old people, but sometimes you realize, you know, it's not worth the battle. Okay, fine, you're right. You start doing that as you get a little wiser, and you pick your battles, and you do that. To be of the same mind, and that's very important. Then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. People say, well, I can't rejoice because my circumstances are so bad. It doesn't say rejoice in your circumstances. It says rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And if you want to understand the word rejoice, just think of this. Re-joy. Have joy again over something. That's all you have to think about. It's the easiest way to define it. You know, you can always rejoice in the Lord. You can have all kinds of problems in your life, but God is still good. You can have all kinds of things you don't have answers for, but God still loves you. He's still a God of grace. He's still preparing a place for you in heaven. Rejoice in the Lord always. If you'll look up a lot more than looking around, you'll find out things are still okay. Now, the world's kind of messed up. Yep, it is. And there's troubles all over in this world. But I wouldn't rejoice because this world has it all figured out. If I had to be able to break the news story to you, I'm sorry, but this world's not going to figure it all out. This world won't figure it out till Jesus comes back. There will always be bad people. There will always be crime. There will always be strife. There will always be wars. It's a messed up. It's a sin-cursed world. Praise God when we find a cure for this, and praise God when this war ends, and that's all good stuff, but something else is coming. If you're not going to enjoy your life until everything's just right, good luck with that. You're going to be waiting a long time. Just when one problem goes out, another problem's coming. It's a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles, the Bible says. So you know what? You rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And praise God when things are going good on earth, but you know what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he tells us to do that. And we should always do that. Then he says, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Can I tell you something? This is something that people do not understand a lot. They have a lot of conflict with people because people don't know their moderation is not known. The word moderation, it means your appropriateness. It also means mildness. It also means boundaries. Okay? What it means is when what you think is appropriate is known to everybody, you're in a lot better shape. Let me explain this to you. When I was first a Christian, my family wanted to do things on Sunday. They wanted to go to family reunions. They wanted to do certain things on Sunday. And they wanted me to go with them. And I said, I go to church on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day, and I'm there in church. You know what? They have not bothered me on that a single time. There's not been a single conflict about me going with them on Sunday for 29 years. Because they know what I'm going to do. Nobody asked me to drink anymore. Go drinking with them. because they know what I'm going to do. Nobody asks me to go smoke pot with them anymore. You know why? Because they know where I stand. Okay? When you're inconsistent, if you don't have fights with your family about you, about them doing things on Sunday, just give in one time. Your moderation is known, and from then on, they will fight you over it. That's the way it goes. When people know where you stand, when people know you're not going to do that, when people know you're, you know, when people know you're honest, they're not going to ask you to go into crime with them. Why? Your moderation is known. Okay? Let it be known. Don't be ashamed of where you stand on things. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of being a good Christian. Don't be ashamed. Let your light so shine before men. You don't have to wear it on your forehead, but you just take a stand and you do it compassionately, nicely, and you don't change. And when they know where you are and they know where you stand, my boss said you had to work on Sunday. I said, I don't work on Sunday. He says, you have to. I said, I don't work on Sunday. He says, it's your part of your job. I said, I don't work on Sunday. And he says, you have to. I said, well, then I can't work here. And he says, okay, you have to work here. You know what I did? I came in. I was working graveyard at that time when I started in this church. I came in and I punched in at midnight Monday morning. Everybody else started at 10 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And I came in and I didn't know if I had the job. He said, you have to work on Sunday. I said, I don't work on Sunday. I told you that. And I told you before I transferred over here, I don't work on Sunday. So I came in midnight, punched in. Supervisor says, why are you here at midnight? I says, because it's Monday now and I don't work on Sunday. I told the terminal manager that. He says, you have to come in. I said, oh, that's fine, but I don't. You know, for 4 years I did that. Everybody else punched in at 10 o'clock. I punched in at midnight. I didn't know if I was fired or not. I just know they kept letting me punch in. Why? And you know what? After about the first week, they never asked me again. Why? They knew it wasn't going to work anyway. And I made myself valuable enough that they didn't want to fire me. That's not a bad idea, by the way. If you're a good employee, they'll usually give you some room there. Okay? Why? Because they knew I was standing. And let your moderation known. Just you know what they mean? Bless God, don't tell me that, you wicked. No, don't do that. Just say, you know, I don't do that. Can we do this on Saturday? Can I do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon after church? I'll come. We'll come. We'll go do lunch or whatever. But you let it be known. Just take your stand and let it be known. Let all men know your parameters, and let all men know where you stand. It's fine. You don't have to be weird about it. You just do it. It's your appropriateness. That's what the word actually means. And the Lord does that. And then he talks about prayer. And this is where I want to focus the whole message here. It talks about prayer and how to pray. And these are some clues into prayer that are very important. First of all, it says, be careful in nothing. That literally means be full of care in nothing. Don't worry about anything. Worrying is not biblical. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Okay? The Bible says, take no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about anything. It says, here is worry, right here. It says, kick it out of the way, and now you're going to replace it. Be careful in nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Okay? So it tells you a few things. First of all, you don't worry. You pray about it. Automatically replace your... By the way, prayer works much better than worry. Worry doesn't solve anything. You don't get more money because you worried. Your health doesn't get better because you worried about it. You don't land a job because you worried about it. It doesn't add money to your bank account because you worry about it. Worry does no good. The Bible says, which of you by taking thought could add one cubit to his stature? Which of you gets taller because you worry about how tall you are? It doesn't change you. It doesn't change. Worry does no. That do, worry doesn't do anything but give you stomach problems. Okay, that's all. I'm turning your hair gray or make it fall out or whatever the case is. And worry doesn't do any good. So it says, instead of worrying, everything. Now, this is what I'm going to talk about, panoramic. The Bible is going to talk about prayer, and it's going to talk about some complete things in prayer. And it says everything. It talks about how to pray here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You know, when you learn to pray about everything, you learn a great lesson that'll help you in life. You know, we pray about big things. Boy, you go to the doctor, and they find a lump, and you start praying. And that's good. Pray about that. And we pray when we're about to get in a car wreck. And we pray when we're going to go interview for a job. And that's all good. But you know, the Bible says in everything by prayer. About praying about which way to go to work. How about praying for your neighbor? How about praying for everything in your life, everything you're worried about? How about praying about that coworker who bothers you? How about praying about your boss? How about praying for your nation? Everything. That's complete prayer. That's panoramic. That's the complete everything, the whole circle of life. Be careful in nothing but everything by prayer and supplication. And it says how to pray with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. One of the most important things you'll ever learn in prayer is thankful prayer. What does that mean? It says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Isn't that good that God used the word request? That means, this is what I want, Lord. And there's nothing wrong with praying for what you want. Pray about everything. Pray for everything you wish. You want a new pair of shoes? Pray about that. If you want, I mean, give God your request. It's request hour. Talk to God about it. And it says, with thanksgiving. Now, let me show you the difference between wrong prayer and right prayer. When you pray with thanksgiving, here's how you pray. Let's say you're running out of money and you're going to be evicted from your apartment. Here's how you would wrongly pray. Lord, this isn't right. I'm going to be evicted. What am I going to do? And it's going to be terrible. And I'm going to be on the street and I'm going to die and it's going to be terrible. And why are you doing this? That's not thankful prayer. Here's what thankful prayer is. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill by the end of the month. And Lord, you know I'll be evicted. But I thank you I have a place today. And I thank you I have you to bring this request to. And I thank you I have a job, Lord. I know it's not paying the bills right now. But Lord, I thank you I have a job. And I thank you I have this nice place over my head this month. And Lord, I thank you today I'm okay. That's thankful praying. One way is griping. One way is thankful for what you have. And by the way, you should be thankful for what you have. Listen, I get the privilege. I stand there and watch 8-year-old kids pounding rocks. That's car parts they're using, by the way, for hammers. And pounding gravel, deciding they have different piles for the finer gravel and the bigger gravel. I watch the guys break off, and we'll show it tonight, the big chunks of rocks, and then haul them up where somebody breaks them into smaller pieces, and then they stake the smaller pieces, then the kids break up the little pieces into little pieces. I get to see that for $1 for a wheelbarrow full. That's a neighborhood who does that. By the way, they're less than a mile away from that. There is a commercial, big, industrial rock crushing place that's doing it, big machines. But these people there found out that people will buy theirs for cheaper, and so they do that, and they make maybe $1 a day. Sitting there with black fingernails from pounding and missing, and making piles all day, sitting in it. The mom sitting there with her little child because she has nowhere to put her child. You could be in that. And if you saw the shacks they live in, you would think your apartment isn't so bad. And they don't have running water there. I will show you, I don't think I was in that video, I'll show you a picture of the bathroom where we were running around in the bush. Listen, you should be a thankful person. You have a lot. If you have a roof over your head and a door that locks and water that runs, it's clean, you got it good. And so be thankful when you pray. Don't be like a spoiled, rotten little kid who complains to his mom that he's only got the Game Boy and he's only got the Nintendo and he needs a new PlayStation because everybody else has a new play. Don't be that to God. You're blessed. If you can walk and see and hear, you thank God for that, right? Amen. I know you have aches and pains. I have aches and pains. But you know what? I'm all right. My health is a lot better than a lot of people's. When you pray and you say, Lord, I have this physical condition, Lord, but I thank you that I can see. I thank you I can walk. Be thankful when you pray. It says, make your requests with thanksgiving. Americans do not know how good we have it. You don't understand. And so we tend to gripe in prayer. We only pray when something goes really wrong, and then all we do is gripe about it. And why isn't it so fair? When you had so many things go right and so good for so long, you never thanked for. You would not do good things. You would not answer your prayers if you were like that to yourself. So in everything you pray about it, and with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So it's a type of prayer where you pray about everything. When you pray, and first thing we have is everything prayer. You pray about everything with thanksgiving. What's the result? It says the result, verse 7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen to me. A lot of Christians quote this. I want the peace that passes understanding, God. That is a qualified thing. You get through a certain process. You want the peace that passes understanding. What you have to do is you have to pray about everything with thanksgiving. And God will take that worry. And what he does is you replace the worry, and God will fill that void of worry with a peace that passes understanding. What does that mean? You might not have a solution, but you still have peace. Amen. You're still getting evicted, but you have peace now about it because you prayed about it. And God gives you a supernatural peace. And he, all of a sudden, now he answers your prayer and he gives you the money. Now he takes care of you. But before he even takes care of the prayer, he gives you a peace that passes understanding. You have people who are enemies and they're bothering you and they hurt you, but you prayed about it. And though they are still there, you have peace now instead of worry, and it passes understanding. It doesn't make sense. That's what God gives you. What a deal. You can replace, you can trade in worry for peace. That's a pretty good deal. I would trade that clunker in for the new one. The peace of God, if you will, and it passes understanding, then what does that peace do? It says, the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and your mind. What does it do? It stabilizes your mind. And it has no 16-page side effect warnings. You want your mind stabilized? Learn to pray about everything with thanksgiving. And the Bible says the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind. That's a great deal. But it comes from praying about everything. Well, if I pray about everything, I have to pray a lot. Yep. Can't do it in 10 minutes. You've got to put some time aside. I'm too busy. Okay. As long as you don't watch any TV that day, or surf the internet, or play a video game, all agree you're too busy. Don't look at a screen that day and see if you have time to pray. You say, I have to check my email. You have to pray. You'll survive a day without email. Okay? I don't know why, but he thinks that you have to be on Facebook every single day. What am I going to do if I'm not on Facebook? I miss something. Yeah, you'll miss a bunch of dumb videos and people talking about, oh, look, my kitty Fifi, isn't she cute? That's not the end of the world. You can survive a day without that. You need to pray. Listen, we say we have no time, and yet the national average of watching TV is over 5 hours a day, plus surf of the net, plus video games. Stop saying you don't have time for prayer. Set aside time for prayer, and you will find out you are so much better off, and you're not so stressed out, and your stomach isn't so upset, and you're not so worried, and you're not so messed up, and you're not so angry all the time, because you'll have peace. You need to take some time, though. It's gonna take time to pray about everything. Tell him about how you're feeling at work. Tell him about how you that person hurt you and they rejected you. Tell him what you need. Tell him you need a new car. Tell him you need this thing. And let your requests be made known. And God said, I'm going to bless you with peace. And I'm going to answer your prayers. Ask and you shall receive. But that's total prayer. Praying about everything thankfully. That's the first thing. Number two, we have got to have constant prayer. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Constant prayer. First thing we need to have is everything prayer. So when God talks about prayer, he talks about complete prayer. Not just I prayed when I ate, but I mean complete prayer. Praying about everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. These are memory verses. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to go to Colossians here. I'm going to explain how do you do that. Pray without ceasing. Colossians chapter... let's see. Let me find my verse. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continuing in prayer and watch into the same with thanksgiving. There's thankfulness in prayer again. Now, how do you pray without ceasing, Pastor? How do you pray without stopping? I got to sleep and I got to focus at work. Listen, this really helped me understand it when I understood Colossians 4. Continuing instant in prayer. Let me explain this to you. So, on Thanksgiving, okay, my wife is cooking all day, okay? I didn't realize it starts early. It starts the day before. right? When you're cooking, I wouldn't know this stuff. I'm better at eating. I have more gift of eating than cooking. She cooks all the entire day long, okay? So my wife, I might ask her, I said, how's it going? She says, I've been cooking all day. Now, has that been the only thing she's been doing? No. This pot's boiling and this water started and this thing here is in the oven still. But she goes off and she might go and take care of the kids and she might go over and work on this thing and she might go spend time reading their Bible. But she's been cooking all day. What does she do? She's continuing to cook all day. There's times when you're cooking when you're not doing anything, right? Not me. I'm always putting out emergencies when I'm cooking and burning things. But a good cook, they aren't doing something constantly. But they're continuing to do it. Okay, every once in a while they get up and they stir it. They're still cooking, right? But now they go over here and they do this thing here. And now they got to go back. And now all of a sudden they put this in the oven because the oven's warmed up. That is continuing. So they're cooking all day. They're cooking without ceasing. But they have to do other things in between, right? Okay. Sometimes you sleep while you're cooking. You ever cook something that has to stay there all night? Some of our folks, they cook whole pigs. And they put that thing underground and it sits there and cooks for like 3 days. By the way, somebody please do that someday. And I want to try a whole pig. Isn't that glorious? And so you're cooking all. And so when you're praying without ceasing, it doesn't mean when you're sleeping, you're praying. Okay? I'm going to record my prayer and then just push play all night long and be praying. No, it doesn't mean that. You don't do it that way. What it means is you're continuing instant in prayer. You'll be saying things like, I've been praying about that all day long. Now, did you pray about it every second of the day? No. You're at work and you're focusing, but it's a life of prayer. There is a time when you go alone and you shut the door of your closet in Matthew 6:6, and you go alone with God and you pray, and that's vital. You have to have that every day, an alone time with God where you can pour out your heart. But also there is throughout the day praying. You can be talking to people and you can be saying, Lord, I pray you'd help that person. Lord, that lady there, she looks like she's really got a burden. I pray you'd comfort her. Lord, I've been thinking about my uncle. Lord, he has those health problems. Be with him right now. You can be praying all day long. Lord, how do you feel today? Lord, I bet you've been, I hear those people cussing. Lord, it must be so hard. You can pray about a lot of things. You can be praying all day long. You know, that would be a better thing to occupy your mind. That would be a better thing to occupy your mind than sitting here and thinking about elections all day. Has that brought you peace yet? If these people bring you peace who are running for the presidency, I need to talk to you. Okay? You would be better to occupy your mind with prayer than to be sitting here thinking about sports all day. The politics went over better than the sports thing. Be better off occupying your mind with prayer. How about every time that you think about how that person did you wrong and how you want to get back at them, how about you stop and say, Lord, I pray you bless them and work on their heart. Lord, you know how much that hurt me. You'd be better off a lot doing that. The Bible says pray for your enemies. See, occupy your mind with constant prayer. Pray without ceasing. Don't go 2-3 days without praying about that unsaved person. No. Pray without ceasing. God likes to be hear from you. And so it's a continual prayer. Number three, it's persistent prayer. Panoramic prayer, it is praise about everything. It constantly prays, and it also is persistent. Luke chapter 18, persistent prayer. Luke 18. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You don't quit praying, Luke 18:1. Then he gives a parable about a widow. And this widow, she was alone, and somebody was ripping her off. And she goes to the judge and goes for the judge and says, I need you to avenge me in mine adversary. Give me my money back, and this guy's going to throw me out of my house, or whatever the story is. But she was being ripped off by her enemy, and she was a widow. And the judge said, get out of here. No, I don't have time for that. And it says this widow would not stop bothering her. Him. And the widow went, and she would bother him. And she came again and came again and came again and came again. Maybe she met him at his door when he got up in the morning and was walking out the door. Maybe she stood there in line to visit the judge all day long. And then when he said no, she'd go to the back of the line again and start again. Maybe when he left work, she would find him and say, hey, I told you I need you to avenge me of an adversary. And I'm just telling you, I'm not going to stop until you do this thing. I'm not going to quit in this. I'm going to bother you and bother you and bother you. And she bothered him and bothered him. And it said, this man wasn't afraid of God or man. This man was a person who didn't care about people. He wasn't afraid of anybody, but he says, this woman is wearing me out. I better give her what she wants, or by her continually coming, she'll weary me. And so he gives in. Verse 5, it says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he'll avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Isn't that weird that God tells us this is how I want you to pray? I want you to bother me. You come to me so much. He gives a parable about bothering somebody. That's how much he wants you to pray. And he says, keep on praying, but I might bear long with you. I might make you pray for a long time. I think of the great, great prayer, Praying Hyde, they called him. No, it was Mueller. Sorry, Mueller, who was the great man of prayer, who had, I think 10,000 prayers listed and answered. And this man was such a man in prayer. He would pray. He would give thanks. He, with his orphans, he had thousands of orphans. He would give thanks over the food when they had no food. And he would say, Lord, thank you for the food you're about to give to us. And we pray you'd bless it for our bodies. And he'd pray for food that wasn't there yet for the orphans. Then he'd get a knock on the door. I laughed the story where a bread truck broke down in front of the orphanage, and he prayed and thanked God for the food, and the guy knocked on the door and says, hey, it broke down. This wagon's not going anywhere. Would you like a bunch of bread? And he said, yes, we just thank God for it. That man had a best friend who didn't get saved when he got saved. He was saved, then he told his friend about Jesus. His friend wouldn't be saved, and he prayed for him, I think it was 49 years, and his friend never became a Christian. His friend got saved at George Mueller's funeral because he never stopped praying. God might make you pray for a while about something. He's enjoying the company. God likes being with you. For whatever reason, he likes being with us. And it's, you're going to keep, listen, don't get discouraged in your prayer. I know you've been praying for that person for 5-10 years. I know they haven't turned yet. I know it seems like they've gotten worse sometimes. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. I might make you pray for a while, but eventually, if you'll pray persistently, I will answer. Do not quit in your prayer. Pray persistently. Don't lose hope. God is still all powerful. But you might not see anything happening for a while. You might need to pray for years. I've got people I'm in almost 30 years praying for them every day, and they're not there yet. Praying, though, makes a difference. And God is keeping track. And he will, if we don't quit, if we keep being persistent, God's going to say, you know what, they're not going to stop. Let's go ahead and do it. Just like the unjust judge. God says, I'm a good judge. I want to do it, but I'm going to wait for a while. Pray without ceasing and pray persistently. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint means to quit. And that's what the Bible says. Next, in our prayer life, we want to have complete prayer. We'll pray in everything, about everything. We'll have constant prayer. We'll have persistent prayer. And we'll also have completely unloading prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. This is a different kind of prayer. It's where you unload. 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen for a sec here. You got things there's no answers for. I know that. So do I. You have things that don't seem to go away, and there are some things that aren't going to go away. There are things you're heartbroken about. There's things that are a burden to you. There's your own failures that you feel guilty about. There's all these things that weigh on you. You got all these weights. You got all these burdens. And you carry them, and your shoulders spiritually and mentally are weighed down. And you're just packing it around in your life, and it wears you out. You do not have to do that. Bible says you take all your cares, you take all your burdens, all of your worries, and you take all these things, and to you it's this giant heap, and you have this, and it's so heavy to you, and you can hardly handle it because it's so much weight. And God says, you cast in all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And you go and you say, I can't carry this, and it's so much, and there's so much weight, and there's so much burden, there's so much disappointment, and so much heartache, and you take it and you can hardly carry it. And God says, cast it to me, casting all your care upon him, and I'll take it in my hand. And you throw it and you say, but Lord, it's too much. And God says, just throw it. And you cast it upon God, and it flies out of the hand of God, and this little tiny speck of dust to God drops there. And he says, I'll carry it for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He's been sitting there looking at you saying, why do you keep on carrying that burden? Give it to me. I'll take it. Cast it upon me. I care for you. I will carry your burden with you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Psalm 34, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite, broken spirit. I want to help you. Quit carrying your burdens alone. I love you, and I want you to help. Let me help you with these things. When you learn to go to God and say, Lord, I was so hurt. Lord, this still hurts me. And Lord, I feel lonely, and I wish this would happen. Lord, I prayed about this, and you didn't do this. And Lord, I'm hurt with that. You say, God doesn't want to hear that. He already knows it. And he says, casting all your care upon him. Jesus did this. And he told the Father how he felt about going to the cross. And he says, listen, and he gives all of his burden to God. He already knows it. And here's what you'll find. When you go and start saying, Lord, I'm burdened about this, and I'm worried about this, and this doesn't seem to be happening, Lord. I'm hurt about this, and why does this always go wrong, and why does this always happen? And you start telling God all these burdens, and pretty soon you begin to weep. And the Bible says he catches every tear in a bottle in heaven. And he's listening and he's caring, and you will find it is supernatural and does not make any sense. But you spend, all of a sudden you start crying, you start telling God how you feel, and you express yourself to him. And instead of being angry because you express yourself to him, you'll find yourself at peace with God, and you'll get up and go, whoa, I feel better. Or you can keep carrying it. But complete prayer casts all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And to you and me, it's pretty heavy. To him, it's nothing. If you're doubling up carrying something with somebody who's really strong, you'll be all right. See, that thing might weigh 100 pounds, and the 50 pounds on your shoulder might feel a lot. But if you're with a person where he carries 95% of the 100 pounds because he's that strong... I do with my kids all the time. Kids like to work, and I'll take my kids who want to work with me, and my little kids want to carry something with me. And I've got my little four-year-old, and she's carrying a piece of wood with me across the yard. She's not carrying half. Okay? Because I know she's not that strong. And I let her carry a little bit because it's good for her, and she wants to help, and she wants to help. But you know what? You've got the God of the universe who's all-powerful wanting to carry your burdens with you, but he won't take them off your shoulders. You've got to give them to him. Casting all your care upon him. Casting all your care upon him. That means you tell him. That means you give it to him. That means you leave it there. Quit worrying about everything. Man, I must be wimpy, but if I worried as much as some people, I'd be dead. My hair would fall out or something. Being people, that was funny. And people, you worry about everything. You're so stressed out. You feel like you're going to snap. You're walking around tense all the time about everything. Relax. It's okay, man. Just give it to God. Quit being so stressed out. Tell God. Just express. Tell him how you feel. You'll be happy-go-lucky. The Bible says that thou shalt be happy-go-lucky, and you'll be all right. See, complete prayer prays about everything. Complete prayer prays all the time. Complete prayer, panoramic prayer, it does not quit. It keeps on praying. It does not quit, and it gives God all his burdens. And when you do that complete prayer thing, yes, it takes a lot longer. But you know what? You don't need to entertain yourself and medicate yourself into oblivion now. Because you took that extra half hour in prayer, you don't have to entertain yourself away from your problems, because your problems aren't so heavy you can't handle them. You don't need to numb yourself through legal or illegal medication. You can relax because you're not carrying everything anymore. And it's in God's hands now. And you'll find out when it's in God's hand, it works out a lot better than in your hands. And he'll hand you back something you can handle and put it in your hands. And he'll say, now go do this. You'll say, that's a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. It looks so complicated and possible. And I prayed about it. The next day, everything fell together. Or you can spend time worrying and stressing and do it all yourself and be... I'm too selfish for that. Life's too stressful when you do it that way. So relax. Give it to God. Be careful for nothing. And have this complete prayer life that keeps on praying and prays about everything and gives God everything. And you'll find that that kind of prayer there gives you a peace that passes understanding, and you're just fine. You're looking at a guy who's not stressed out. Ain't worried about it. Worried about what? That. Anything. Why? Because it's not all on my shoulders. It's on God's shoulders. Give it to God. And quit taking it back because you think God can't handle it. Just relax. Give it to God. When you need to do something, he'll give it to you and he'll put it in front of you. Do your part, yes. You'll have to do something. But you give the burdens to God. God gives you the solution and you can go do the solution. When you don't have the answer, you go to God. When you need, and when you're everything, pray about everything. That's persistent prayer. Let me read you one more verse, Ephesians 6. It's a good verse. It's going to say all we just said, and we'll be done. Ephesians 6. Mom, worried about those kids? You have a Father in heaven who will help you if you'll give God that burden. Pray about it. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Watch this. Complete panoramic, all the whole circle prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's what I just said. That is complete biblical prayer. You're praying about everything for everybody. You're praying with all supplication and all things, always praying. Ephesians 6:18. That was almost a memory verse, but I thought you wouldn't. It's too long for you. I gave you the easy ones. And we're going to get those easy ones, right? Five words. I'm really worried about this. And we've got to be able to get the five words. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Just pray about everything. You're going to come back next Sunday if you do this and say, Pastor, it worked. That's so awesome. It worked. Why? Because God's word always works. And when you pray about everything, God's going to take care of everything. And when you worry about everything, you get all kinds of problems. And it doesn't fix anything. So pray about everything. And give God everything and never quit. Praying with all prayer and supplication. Complete panoramic prayer. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you. It shows us these things. Thank you. We don't have to worry. Thank you. We don't have to carry everything alone. Thank you, we can have a prayer life all day long, being in contact with you and talking to you. And yes, we can have a quiet time and a private time, but Lord, we can be praying without ceasing, continuing instant in prayer. I pray today our prayer lives would be fixed. I pray today we would be enjoying this prayer life and getting the victory in it, Lord. I thank you for Mother's Day and as we celebrate that and all the wonderful things you have to say about that. But Lord, today is just a day to learn about prayer. And I pray we'd get it. And I pray today if somebody doesn't know you as Savior, where you don't even hear their prayers. Lord, I pray today they'd come to know you as Savior. And Lord, help all of us have a good prayer life, a real prayer life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pianist is coming, and we're just going to ask you a couple questions. First of all, that wonderful piece that passes understanding.